We are indeed blessed. And if we didn't realize it, we are hearing and seeing it. God is good and gracious towards us. And we have the opportunity to worship and honor him. And the songwriter indeed penned it well when he echoes the sentiments, let us strive to live close to him each day. And so when we get the opportunity like this to worship and honor him, let us see and count it as a joy and a privilege. We continue to be appreciative of the words of encouragement, the prayers that continue to go up, and it does give a sense of confidence that the congregation is praying for us when we come here. What we strive to do is to study from God's word, and we truly hope that the words that are shared will be of encouragement to us. Even as I do the preparation, I find it encouraging to hear the assurances of God. And so whatever I share, I introspect myself. And we are all on a journey towards eternity. And so, you know, let us lift each other up in encouraging words and prayers as we journey together. Let me, before I even get into the lesson, offer congratulations to persons like Selvin Gilbert, Brother Dave Fisher, Alison Myrie. They graduated from the Jamaica School of Preaching, and I don't think I quite get it right. I know the name changed up some international, right? So they have gone beyond the borders of Jamaica. All right, but we know that all three graduated from the program last Sunday. It was a rainy Sunday. All right, I was able to view it on YouTube. It was YouTube, right? You know, we want to say congratulations to them and encourage them to channel the knowledge for the building up of the congregation here in whatever facet that they have the opportunity to do so. Right. Some 3-4 years ago, when I was exiting that program, I didn't imagine that for most of 2020 I would be up here preaching. All right, so sometimes God's work in a very interesting way, and we don't even recognize how he plans to use us, you know. And let me just pause while I'm at it, all right, and, you know, to say how much we appreciate the song leaders, Brother Myrie continually, not only from a song leader perspective, but behind the scenes, he does so much. You know, we appreciate him. We recognize Brother Wilson, he's leading today. We recognize Brother Peart, who has sort of stepped up. Those of us who meet in the first session don't realize that Brother Peart is the one running leading the worship session, you know, in terms of the order. So we just really appreciate them. The persons who continue to work behind the scenes, you know, in the various groups, you know, taking care of little things which become big things when they are not in place, you know. So we really want to express appreciation. We continue this morning on the general theme that we have been on, love not the world, and we continue to explore the challenge that we would have been presented with when we examine the instruction of Almighty God that we should not love the world, even amidst the reality that we live in the world. And it got more complicated, in a sense, when we recognized that God, in fact, loves the world, you know, to the extent that he says, for God so loved the world. And, you know, he went on to tell us that, you know, he went out of his way to love the sinner. And so we continue to try to understand then how, in the midst of God loving the world and we existing in the world, are told now not to love the world. And we spent time understanding the different ways that world is used in Scripture. And that gave us some better insight into what it may mean. And we also examined and spent a significant amount of time last week looking at the fact that when we speak about love not the world, it's not that we should hate the world. It's not that we should not have any care for the world, but it's really an indication of priority, what we give the first place. And so we looked at some key relationships and recognized that even when God would have spoken about that we should not love mother and father, it was really that we should not love them more than we love God. And so there should be concern for the world. In fact, we too, like God, like Jesus Christ, and what the Holy Spirit has been demonstrating, should be concerned about the sinner. You know, almost as much as we are concerned about ourselves, if we exclude ourselves, because we are all sinners. But it is that we should give God the first place. And last week, we spent some time looking at the fact that as we examine the instruction to love not the world, that one way that we can help ourselves in this is spirit over flesh. And so while we are concerned about the flesh, the body, it should be that we place the spirit, our spiritual side, ahead of the desires of the flesh and seek to have the fruits of the spirit. As we continue in that journey, today we want to place the emphasis, and it's really not different, but it gives a different angle. And so today we will be looking at eternity over time. Eternity over time. So to help us to put in context love not the world, then what we are saying, we can help live this, achieve this, by putting spirit over flesh. And now we're going to be examining placing eternity over time. We pointed out in the last study that man is more than his flesh. Man is more than his body. In fact, we are triune. There are three aspects to us. There is body, there is spirit, and there is soul. And the existence of us having a soul, having a spirit that is eternal in nature, means that we should not just concern ourselves with the here and now. we should not just concern ourselves with time, but that we should recognize that when time here is done, eternity chips in, or eternity continues. In fact, in the base text of Colossians chapter 3 that our brother read for us earlier, it puts this in context. And it says that, well, in verse 2, set your affection
things above.
On things above.
Not on things.
Not on things.
On the earth.
On the earth. And so this forms the base of our encouragement to us that our affection should be set not on the temporary things, but on things eternal. Set your affection, says the writer Paul, on things above. Things of an eternal base, and not so much earthly and worldly things. In fact, this is sometimes very challenging. And we do not want to give the impression that as we sojourn through time, we should just want. That we should just exist in a mediocre way. In fact, Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to come back to Colossians shortly. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, that we should redeem the time. That we should take and take the opportunities that time affords us. We have a relatively short time that we exist here on earth. You know, many of us can remember a few years ago and say, whoa, so much time has elapsed. You know, wasn't it just 2 years ago that I was still in school? But now, even though that's 2 years ago, I've been working for 10 years. time just goes quickly. And so we are encouraged to make the best use of time. Redeeming the time, don't idle the time. And so even for our young people, make the best use of your youth. Make the best use of your time in school. Make the best use of your brains while it is craving and can hold in a lot of things, because as you get older, you start forgetting things. And while we, no matter how old we get, we can continue to learn. There is a type of sponginess in the youth where you can absorb things. And gone are the days when you exist in a time where, you know, you go into like one career and that takes you through your entire life. The world has changed so much that you find that if you have such an appetite, go after many things. Because one, you can do many things. And the other thing is that they tend to converge, even when you do not realize that there is a link, that everything comes together. And so if you have an interest and you have the wherewithal, God has blessed you that you can get these in, take them. Redeem the time. Make best use of the opportunities that are presented to you. Don't idle it. Don't ramp it away. Make the best use of the opportunities. You know, the wise man said, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. So, you are here as young people. We want to encourage you to remember God in the days of your youth. Remember him Make use of the relationship that he wants to have with you. It will do you well in the years to come. It will do you well in eternity to remember our Creator. So we want to make the best use of our time. You know, in Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm and verse 2, or is it verse 12? It encourages us to number our days. And so we want to recognize that our time here on earth is limited. It is so limited you can count it. If you choose to count it in years, you finish count that quick. Even if you set out to count your days in hours, you can count it in a relatively short time. You know, so the psalmist says, number your days. Can we have it?
So teach us.
What verse is it?
Verse 12.
Verse 12 of Psalm 90.
So teach us.
Teach us.
To number our days.
To number our days.
That we may apply.
That we may apply.
Our hearts unto wisdom.
Our hearts unto wisdom. And you see, this is something we don't want to discount. We should make use of our time. What? To the end that we can apply wisdom. So even for those of us who will live long, it is not that we live long enough. It is to what extent do we allow the word of God to work in us so that we can have knowledge, and that knowledge can lead to wisdom. So that in the sight of God, we are wise. So time is indeed a sphere that we should strive to achieve as much as we can. But it is always the end game that it is to be wise in the sight of Almighty God. But I'm also saying that while we redeem the time, while we make best use of the opportunities that time allows us, that it should be eternity over time. That our focus should be on the eternal and not on the temporary things of life. Colossians again, chapter 3 and verse 2 says it well. Set your affection
on things above. Not on things.
On the earth. And let us not say what the Bible has not said. Because it's not that we should not take any interest in things on the earth. But what it is saying is that where we set our affection, where we rest our true concern, should be on things eternal. That is where we should plant our affection. That's where we should cement what we want. It should not be so much on the things of this life, but the things eternal. Set your affection. But let's go up verse 1 and come back down. See that Colossians.
If ye then be risen with Christ.
If then ye be risen with Christ.
Seek those things. Which are above.
Still we're talking about eternity. Where Christ
sitteth on the right hand of God.
Yes.
Set your affection on things above.
Pause there for me. If we remember how we framed the lesson, because this lesson has in its purpose, its design, to encourage us as Christians, having started the walk with Christ, to not think that we are there. Yes, we have become Christians, but it does not end there. We need to continue our walk with him. And so Paul starts this section, and he says, if then, but guess what? As Christians, it is not if. As Christians, we have been risen with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Once we got baptized, then not only did we die, not only were we buried, but when we rise, when we come up out of the water, we are risen with Christ. And so the focus of heaven, the focus on eternity over time, is not something that it's a if. It's more a since. In fact, I think the NIV version renders it as such, that since you have been risen with Christ, so it is not so much a if, but a since. And I see some movements happening there. You have the NIV version, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you are there, read it. Not there.
Since then.
Since then.
You have been raised with Christ.
You have been raised with Christ. You can't stop there. So, having become Christians, having been baptized, obeying the gospel, you heard the word, you believed, you repented, and then you confessed his name and got baptized, then we are brought into a situation where we are risen. And then that now makes it mandatory that we go now and look at those things that are above. That's where we need to set our affection. But I don't want to leave out my visitors. Because for you, you cannot say since. And so I would want to encourage us that when the worship would have been over, that you can indicate that you do not want to be excluded from these sins. And so you too can come in union with Jesus Christ. You too can die to sin. You know, that's sort of what happens when you repent, where you tell yourself you are going to make that change. And when you indicate your allegiance, then you can be baptized, and in that baptism, you come in contact with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where you rise in newness of life. And so, we are saying though, even as we encourage you to come, that when you come out of that water, that newness of life does not guarantee your eternal well-being, because we have to continue faithful to Jesus Christ. We have to now have a focus not about self and time and the flesh, the body, but now we need to have a focus on the eternal segment of things. We have to now start to set our affection on things above. We now need to focus on the things that are above. We need to seek, we need to explore things eternal. Set your affection on things above, says the Apostle Paul. Now, when we, continue reading for me. You're at verse 2, I believe. So set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Read
for ye are dead.
For what?
For ye are dead.
For you are dead.
And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah, this is almost a contradiction. You know, it's talking about death and life. And he's saying that you are dead. And then it says, your life is hid in Christ. You know, and it just carries me to my favorite verse of all verses. I am crucified with Christ. You know, we die with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You know, though crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. And so we are being told again by the same writer Paul here in Colossians that we are dead, but yet our life. So even though we are dead, we still have life. But guess what? Our life is hid in Christ. Yeah. Our life is hid in Christ. For you are dead. And this concept of dead, you know, he goes at it over and over. You know, in verse 5, it says what?
Mortify therefore
your members.
Which you are upon the
NIV,
earth.
You still have the NIV, Brother Chad? What does the NIV say? Verse 5. What? Mortify. All right, since he's not there yet. Mortify is speaking about death. Put to death is the concept behind the word mortify. And so what we find is that our Christian life starts with death. You know? Yeah. To enter into a relationship with Christ, we actually died. That's why the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So it starts with death. But look at this carefully, brethren. Our continual existence with Christ calls for us dying, putting to death certain things. And so verse 5 says what? Mortify. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. So the things that are earthly, the things that are in reality because of time, these we need to put to death. And verse 8 says what? But now
you must also rid yourself of all such things as these.
Oh, you are gone to NIV. I like the King James in this. It talks about, but now ye also put off
all these.
Put off all these.
Anger.
Wrath.
Malice.
Put off.
Blasphemy,
put it off.
Filthy communication.
Put it off.
Out of your mouth.
Put it off. This again is talking about separation. Well, talking about death. But guess what? What is death? Death is a separation. You know, the death that we fear a whole lot is the physical death, where our body is separated from our spirit. But what I'm saying is that our Christian journey is about separation. Separation of things earthly from things spiritual. And so we are encouraged to put off many things, to separate many things. Because our journey is about dying, putting away things that would take us away from our eternal thing. You know, did it stop there?
No. Verse 9, lie not one to another.
Put that off.
Seeing that you have put off.
So because you have put off
the old man.
The old man and his deed. What are we talking about? We are saying that as we strive to understand the instruction given to us by God to not love the world, we are saying to not love the world means that we need to put a focus of eternity over time.
Amen.
We need to put off some things. But can I balance the lesson? I always like to put things in balance. Because sometimes we go at extreme. You know, because, you know, we sort of jumped over some of the things, and the emphasis is really not about telling us what all of these different sins are, because even though from verse 5 coming down tells us a lot of things that concern the temporary, and the focus is that we should put them off. We should separate. We should cause them to we should mortify them, put them to death. Put all of these things to death. But I think I would do the lesson injustice if I didn't read verse 10.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed.
Start again.
And have put on the new man.
So here we see that even though as Christians we are asked to put off, put to death some things, separate, mortify, we are being told that we should also put on.
Amen.
Put on. So when we start our journey with Christ, all of these earth-based things that we are asked to put off, to kill, to separate, to mortify, we are also being encouraged to put on the new man. Can I get a little practical here? It is not sufficient for us coming into the church to just stop telling lies. It is not just sufficient for us if we were murderers to stop being murderers. It is not sufficient for us who were backbiters to stop being backbiters. All of the negative things that we are being told to put off, it is important when we come into the family of God that we put on spiritual things. You know, you remember the story about the man that had the devils, the demons? You know, and he was healed, and, you know, he was like a clean vessel. Clean. You know, you get a, you get a clean slate. But then because he did not put on, then you find some more devilish devil just came and possessed him, the worst. And so sometimes when we come into the church, sometimes as years elapse into the church, and we start to put off some things that we that was an issue, and we can testify to people, you know, there are some things I used to do and I don't do them anymore. But then when we check it out, we have not put on love. We have not had concern one for another. We do not exercise sound judgment. So we have not put on the qualities that are Christ-like and godly. And so it is that we are really good for nothing. What good are we doing? We need to put some positive things in the mix. This is consistent with what we saw in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. When we were told that we should put off certain things. Or we should deny certain things. But then it went on to say that we should live a particular way. We should live soberly. We should live righteously. So it's never sufficient for us to just stop doing some negative things, but we need to start doing some positive things. Christians, I continue to speak to us. Are we embracing the spirit of Christianity? Is it just that we are not doing some of those things that the worldly persons do, And then we feel comfortable because I'm no longer a thief. I am no longer a person who lies. I'm no longer a drunkard. There are many persons who are not Christians who can say the same thing. Being a Christian, it does not mean that you are just morally upright. Well, we should be, but that of itself does not make us Christians. So, question: to what extent am I evangelizing? To what extent do I share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who I come in contact with? To what extent do I show love, kindness, and affection to my brethren? Am I mean? Do I rob God? Do I tear down my brothers and sisters instead of encouraging them, provoking them unto love and to good works? What have we put on? That is a challenge, I believe, for all of us. So, you're still at Colossians? I don't want to stray too much. So, we are being encouraged, brethren, to set our affection on things above. That we should put to death the things that would keep us from Almighty God. But, you know, we can't look at death without looking at life. And so, the same concept that we are seeing, can we have verse 3 again? For ye are dead.
For ye are dead.
And your
life is hid with Christ.
Again, I make reference to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 24. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, we are hid with Christ in God. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, wasn't it Jesus Christ that says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is in whom we should hide ourselves. He is the bread of life. That, you know, that was John chapter 1 and verse 25. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Christ is where we should be hanging, hinging, living, moving ourselves as we move through this life. Because in Jesus Christ is true life. We should not have a focus on just self, but on Jesus Christ. You know, life is an interesting thing. It sweet us. You know, because when good things are happening, we just feel comfortable. And when negative things are happening, you know, we want to get rid of it. But the truth is that life is temporary. It is short term. And it really takes an insight to recognize that we should not place our focus on things temporary. Do you remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 13? He placed focus on the temporary over the long term. And so he saw the pleasures that he could get. And so he wanted everything. And then he went out, you know, but it was short term. You know, he just had fun and merriment. But in a very short order, it was all done. You know, you are there? All right, read verse 30. We won't stay long there. Luke chapter 15 and verse 13.
And not many days. After the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country.
So sometimes we take our own journey. Read.
And there wasted his substance.
And we waste the opportunities. We do not make best use of the opportunities. We do not redeem the time. But he just wasted it in merriment. But you know, let us not be self-righteous, because many of us do the same thing. For a little promotion at work, we'll give up Sunday worship. We get so busy with what this life can give to us that we shortchange our Christianity. Well, you know, one of the beautiful aspects of this prodigal son story that some argue is not really about the prodigal son, it's really about the big brother, but let's stick with the prodigal son, is that we too would have placed ourselves in situations where we have put our focus on temporary things. Work. We are studying. And so because we are studying, we stop coming to worship. We forget about Bible study. We have no time and there's no place for visitation, for evangelism. We are so concerned about taking care of family that we do not even concern ourselves about the family of God. And so we waste our time. We do not make the best use of our opportunity. And then things happen. Things happen. It might be ill health. It may be the very same family that we deserted Christ for, to take care of. And then they die and it just hits us. And we need the comfort of the brethren. We need the support of the church. We need God. We too are like prodigal sons and daughters. We too have a father who loves us. You know, when he recognized the error of his way, when the reality strikes him, and he took his way and his journey back home, guess what? His father was there waiting for him. I want to encourage us. If we are here and we want to come back home, because, you know, we can be physically here but away from God, recognize that God our Father is there ready and waiting for us. He will welcome us back. He will have a party for us. Yeah. The merriment that we went away for, the temporary satisfaction that we went away for, we can have merriment and enjoyment with God. When he came back home, his father was waiting to take him. But we have to do our part. We have to come in repentance. We have to come wanting to serve. We have to come ready to be obedient to the dictates of the Father. Temporary, short-term satisfaction over eternal is something that we all struggle with, something that we all have to hurdle in our Christian journey. But I wasn't finished with Colossians. You know, I think we were at about verse 3.
For ye are dead.
For ye are dead.
And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes.
When Christ, who is our life, mm-hmm. shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory.
Yes, read on.
Mortify therefore your members.
Yeah, we spoke about life and death. Read on.
Which are upon the earth. Mm-hmm. Fornication.
Yes.
Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil. Concupiscence. And covetousness. Right. Which is idolatry.
All right. I'm going to ask you to pause there. Because I realize now that time again is catching up on me. So. Let me say that not only have we seen this with the prodigal son, but we had made mention, and I want to mention it again because it has relevance here. Remember Demas? Yeah, we spoke about Demas earlier part of the lesson. Demas also, like the prodigal son, had an issue with things temporary. You know, we are told in verse 9 and 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he left Paul because of an interest that he had. Are you there? Verse 9 and 10.
Do thy diligence.
Do thy diligence.
To come unto me.
To come unto me.
For Demas has forsaken
me.
Having loved this present
world. Why did Demas forsake Paul? Because?
Because he loved. This present world.
This present world. I'm here to say that we should not love the world. But let us instead place eternity over time. Let us not be concerned about time. Let us not set our affection on things concerning time, but let us set our affection on things eternal. Demas forsook because he loved this present world. Because he loved things concerning the temporary. Things concerning this earth. So for this reason, he forsook Paul. Let it not be said of us that we forsake the cause of Christ. Let us put eternity over time. Just as we put spirit over flesh, let us put eternity over time. You know, we have said it before, but I want to say it again. That for many of us, possession, money, physical comfort, family loyalty, sexual sins, drugs, alcohol, social acceptance, power, prestige, career, are things that will pull us away from Almighty God. These are things that time brings to our face. But put eternity as the cement. Put eternity as the things that we set our affection on. Because as Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Yes, Demas forsook because he loved this present world. We are encouraged, love not the world. a recipe for us to live up to this clear instruction given by Almighty God is to place eternity over time. Can that be our focus? Can that be where we set our affection? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 joins in the same sentiments when it talks about the seen and the unseen. And again, we are seeing here the focus on the temporary over the eternal. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read.
While we look, not at the things which are seen.
While we look, not on the things that are
seen, but at the things which are not seen.
But on the things that are not seen.
For the things which are seen.
Here, no. For the things that are seen
are temporal.
Are temporal. And so we should not be placing our emphasis. We should not be setting our affection on things that are temporary, but things that are eternal. That's where we need to set our affection. Not on the temporary things. Not on the things seen. Not on our careers. Not on the making of money. But on things eternal. But can we get the context a little? Time is going on me. Ours gone. Verse 17. Just jump up a verse.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Worketh for us. Start again.
For our light affliction.
For our light affliction.
Which is.
For our light affliction. Brethren, I want to speak to us as we close. We have affliction in this temporary world. We have it. If we don't have anything else, all of us are struggling, are being affected by COVID. But you know, beyond COVID, beyond an epidemic in our world, in our island, a pandemic in the world, you know that for most or for many of us, COVID is not the thing on our minds right now. And I shocked some people. For some of us, we are going through our affliction.
Yeah.
Our own non-COVID illnesses.
Right.
Our struggles. Some of us were unemployed even before COVID. Some of us having family crisis. We have affliction. But here, Paul recognizes the things seen and the things unseen. He's saying that, yes, we have eternal issues, even as we have time issues. But he's saying, set your affection on things eternal. And then he says, in respect to affliction. And then he says something interesting. He defines the affliction. And what we would be calling the biggest of things, he says, your light affliction. So even when we're grieving, that's light affliction.
Amen.
Even when we're sick and don't know what to do to get better, light affliction. But then he doesn't stop there. Doesn't start from the top and go again.
For our light affliction.
For our light affliction.
Which is but for a moment.
Yes.
Worketh
for us. You know what it is saying? Our affliction, brethren, is working for us.
Amen.
Our affliction, brethren, let it not ever take us away from Christ and Christianity, because it is working for us. How? Our light affliction, brethren, is a preparation. Our light affliction is preparing us for something bigger.
Amen.
What we are seeing, brethren, what we are feeling, brethren, is preparing us for the unseen. Let us not shun it. Not saying that if we're sick, we mustn't go to the doctor. But let us recognize that our life and what we need to focus on is not on the seen, but the unseen. It is preparing us for the bigger thing. The verse was finished. I really need to stop.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us.
Worketh for us.
A far more.
You see the type of words?
Yes.
A far
more.
More.
Exceeding.
Exceeding.
And eternal.
And eternal.
Weight of glory.
What if you see it? What we are facing in the temporary, whatever it is, that's light affliction. Because we have something bigger that we're going to get, that we are working at, the eternal. And that eternal, well, when you compare it, if this is the temporary, then the eternal is spread out. But even as does the term temporary and eternal is stretched, it's like the writer went out of his way to further describe the bigger thing. And he says what? He says that the eternal is exceeding.
Far more exceeding.
And then it's not just that the eternal is exceeding, it is more exceeding eternal. Yeah. And it's not just that it is more exceeding eternal, but that it is far more exceeding eternal thing.
Amen.
What are we facing?
Amen.
What in this world is pulling us? We're saying, don't let that affect you so much.
Amen.
Love not the world. Yes, we're concerned about things that are, but let that not be the focus, because we have a bigger focus.
Yes.
Let it be eternity over time.
Yes.
So that no matter what affecting us here, our focus is on the eternal. So what? If the rest of my life me poor.
Amen.
So what? Yeah. If I never achieve that career that I wanted. What if I never find myself a spouse? What if? Yes. You went to work at it, you know. But what if?
Amen, brother.
We are saying eternity over time. And I want to say to us as I close that a lot of times, if we place the focus on the eternity, the eternal, you're going to find that the temporary things are fall in place. For one, you don't set some type of affection. You don't think you need to own this. But, and you don't live a particular place that you'd want to be. But where you are so much comfort, you're living better than if you were living there. So the job that you were yearning for, to what end? To have a little comfort. But you might get something else. And it's so much more joy, and you get the opportunity to do more for the Lord, and then you're just happy. Why? I set my affection on things above. Eternity, brethren, over time. Yes, concern yourself with things, but eternity is where we need to set our affection. We're going to ask the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. Remember, love, not the world. A recipe to love not the world, eternity over time. What's the song, brother?
Psalm
543. 543. Let us be standing as we sing.
Five, four, three. There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach the shore by fate decree. One by one we'll join the portals there to dwell with the immortal. When this ring those golden bell for you and me. Don't you hear the bells are ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? It's the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, and there's ring for you and me. We shall know no sin, no sorrow in that heaven of tomorrow, when a bark shall silver sea. We shall only know the blessing of our Father's sweet caressing, where the ring does golden bell for you and me. Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, when they ring those golden bells for you and me. When our days shall know their numbers, when in death we sweetly slumber, when the King Spirit to be free, nevermore with anguish laden, we shall reach the lovely Eden, when we ring those golden bell for you and me. Don't you hear the ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis the glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In that far off sweet forever, just beyond the shining river, where they ring those golden bell for you. Amen.